need to be going over the next couple of weeks is just is a season of gratitude. Being grateful. And I don't know about you, but what is your favorite holiday? Like your favorite day of the year? You know, and as kids, it's Christmas. I knew a guy who was, he loved St. Patrick's Day. And every day he would take the day off and celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Maybe there's different days. I know my daughters like October 6th. Anybody know what October 6th is? Like it's their favorite day of the year, October 6th. You don't even know it's your favorite day? October 6th is National Transfer Money to Your Daughter Day. Seriously. Now, the sons have their own day. October 13 is National Transfer Money to Your Sons Day. So that's what the one day they always text me on October 6th. It's National Transfer Money to Your Daughter Day. I'm like, that's like every single day. Like, how is that different than any other day? But like for me, years ago as a kid, you know, Christmas was always like the favorite day or your birthday, you know, if you receive gifts or anything like that. But I have grown to really love and appreciate the season that we're in right now, Thanksgiving. This season. And it has very little to do with the meal that we're all eating together, that we'll all eat in a couple weeks. There's really nothing, frankly, on the Thanksgiving menu that is one of my favorite meals. Stuffing. Someone likes stuffing. Stuffing's good. But it's like, I'd rather have a burrito or a taco or something like that. There's nothing about the meal, but there's something about coming together and entering into a time where you just go around the table where you talk and you're like, I'm so grateful for what has happened in my life. I'm so grateful for this thing that happened throughout the year. So we're going to take the next couple of weeks to just talk about gratitude in this season of gratitude. Because all throughout Scripture, we are commanded to give thanks, to have a grateful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, 5:16 through 18 up on the screen. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, not just when things are going well, not just when things are right, not when things turn out good for you, but in all circumstances. In every season, we are to give thanks. Colossians 3, this isn't up there, but it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called into one body, and be thankful. Paul then goes on to say, he says, whatever you say, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then maybe you know this passage, Philippians 4. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before the Lord. Thanksgiving isn't supposed to be an idea or something that we do once a year. It's supposed to be this operating system by which we live, living out of a heart that is grateful. And there are some real dangers that happen if we don't live from a place of thankfulness. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1, this verse is up on the screen. I'd love for you to turn there. Romans 1 has just a list of sins that people engage in. And Paul even says, like, he lists this long list. And then he's like, just in case I didn't cover anything, people invented new ways of sinning. He's like, it's just an interesting list, but where does this come from? Why do people engage in this type of activity? And it says this in verse 20, Romans 1, verse 20. For his invisible attributes, talking about God, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, here's the key. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile or purposelessness. There's no purpose in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's interesting. They didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. A lack of thanksgiving led to a life of living away apart from God. Even Paul says this in 2 Timothy 3. This is up on the screen. Talks about the end times and the last days. It says, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. You're like, yeah, that's going to happen at the end. But then it says, they will be ungrateful, unholy. Ungrateful. ungrateful, if we're not grateful, if we're not living a life of gratitude, a couple of things can quickly happen. First of all, we can forget all that God has done. We can forget all that God has done. And when we forget all that God has done, we can quickly enter into a posture of our heart being filled with grumbling. Grumbling and complaining. When we're not living from a place of gratitude, we forget all that God has done. Just look at the example of the Israelites. They were delivered out of Egypt, miraculously delivered. They crossed over the sea on dry ground. And then they get into the desert and they start complaining. They start grumbling. And I would argue it's because they forgot all that God had done. They weren't living from a place of gratitude. If we're not living from a place of gratitude and giving thanks regularly, we forget, but also we can get frustrated. We can get frustrated because we're looking around at our current situation and we're like, we wish we were further along. And if we're not living from a place of gratitude, seeing all that God has done in our lives, we can start comparing our lives to one another. I'm not as far along as that person. I'm not as far along as that person. You know what? If we fail to look back and see all the way that God has brought us and give them thanks for that, we can get frustrated and be like, I have so much more to go. It's true. We're going to talk about that in the future, all the ways that God grows us. But we have to pause and say, God, you have brought me so far. I give you thanks for what you've done. If we don't give him thanks, we get frustrated with our current situation. But also, lastly, if we don't give thanks on a regular basis, we can live in fear. We can live in fear, and we can start to have anxiety and have anxious hearts because we're looking at our problems. We're looking at the things that are in our lives, and they seem overwhelming. They seem over our head. They seem so big. And when we're so focused on them instead of giving thanks and reminding ourselves of what God has done, they take a bigger place in our lives than the Lord. So we live in fear. What we need to do, instead of living in fear and looking at the power, how big our problems are, remind our problems how big our God is. That's what happens when we give thanks. And so all throughout Scripture, you see that thanksgiving is actually the soundtrack of heaven. It's what's on repeat in heaven. We did that a little bit this morning already. Revelation 4:9 says this: whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. The soundtrack of heaven is glory and honor and thanksgiving. That's what's being played over and over in heaven. So much so, when King David became king, he was anointed king and battled with Saul for a number of years. But when he became king and took his rightful place as king, the first thing that he did was he set up a secretary of thanksgiving, an office of thanksgiving. He gathered people together and anointed a priest and says, your job is simply to give thanks to the Lord nonstop. And that was the first thing that he did. Brought the Ark of the Covenant back into a tent and said, you're going to give thanks nonstop. Thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving is the soundtrack of heaven, but it's also the soundtrack of someone who's a son or daughter of the king. Think about Jesus. Think about the night that he was betrayed. It says that he gave the cup. He gave the bread. Multiple times it said he gave thanks. Think about that. In the midst of him, surrounded by his enemy, the one who's going to betray him, Jesus is so focused on the Lord and so filled with gratitude, he's giving thanks to God for who he is. The soundtrack of thanksgiving is the soundtrack of a son or a daughter who recognizes that everything that they have comes from the Lord.
Yes.
It's so important to live from a place of gratitude, from a place of thanksgiving. But sadly, our world, our culture, doesn't always realize that. Do you know that gratitude was actually not in the Encyclopedia of Human Emotions for a while? I didn't see the power of gratitude, but recently people have done experiments and different things where they see that gratitude can actually transform our lives. See, our lives can be filled with so much regret. So much, you know, I should have done this, or I wish I would have done that. We can be focused here in this guilt. But I think what happens when we live a life of gratitude, we say, you know what? Yeah, God, I've broken over these years that I wasn't walking with you. But a grateful heart says, God, you got my attention now.
And I'm so grateful for what you're doing in my life now. Oh. See, we can be filled with, oh, I wish. Man, I wish this relationship in my life was better. Instead of focusing on that guilt and maybe things that you should have done in that relationship, you're like, well, God, you're stirring up in my heart right now something about it. Mm. You're awakening my soul to do something about this right now. Yeah. See, it's powerful when we move like guilt in our lives. When we change that, we say, you know what, I'm going to replace that with gratitude. God, you're stirring something in me for a reason. And I'm just so thankful that you're at work in my life. And this morning in the season of gratitude, what I want to give thanks for and focus on just for a few minutes is that I am so grateful that God is a God of new beginnings. That God is a God who begins things, that he starts things. And to focus on that, I want to read just out of Philippians 1. So if you turn to Philippians 1. It's powerful. Philippians is written by Paul later in his life. And it's a book that is just filled with joy. Paul is just thanking God for the people in Philippi and the work that he did there. And so Paul says this in Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, my God, in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love that phrase. He who began a good work in you. Who begins the work? Who begins the work in our lives? God begins the work. God begins the work. God is at work in your life and in my life way before we ever realize it. Way before we ever come to like, oh yeah, God, this is what you're doing. God is tugging at our hearts, nudging at us, getting awakening in our hearts. Damn, God begins a good work. And I'm so thankful that God is a God of new beginnings, that God is a God who chases us down, who's at work long before we realize it. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and your homework this week is to read Acts 16. And I'm just going to share a few like pictures of Acts 16, because this is how the church in Philippi started. The church in Philippi started in an amazing way, and it has God's fingerprints all over it. You can see that he began the good work way before they even realized it. Paul was hanging out with this guy named Silas, and they were going all around sharing the good news of Jesus all around the known world. And they were going to go to Asia, and it says this, that Paul was prevented by the Holy Spirit from going there. Then he tried to go somewhere else, and it says the Holy Spirit forbade him to go in that direction. And then one night, Paul, in a dream, was sleeping, and he got a dream, and it was a person saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And he, when he woke up, realized, well, they needed to go preach the gospel in Macedonia. Well, Philippi was a leading city in Macedonia, and so Paul immediately went to Macedonia, to Philippi, and started to share the good news of Jesus Christ, thinking that he would go to a synagogue and where a Jewish people were worshiping, because that was usually his custom. He would go there and proclaim Jesus. But instead of going to a synagogue, he came across a woman named Lydia. Lydia was the CEO of her own company. Lydia was an intellectual person. She was holding a Bible study with other women. They were talking about the Old Testament scripture. Think about, like, this is Tuesday morning women's Bible study over coffee. And Lydia sees Paul, and Paul interacts with Lydia. And she is an intellectual, and she's asking questions. And Paul shares with her the good news of Jesus. And it says this, that the Lord opened her heart, and she believed and was baptized along with her whole family. Here's Lydia. Lydia, a businesswoman who was knocking out of a park, who was seeking the Lord. All of a sudden, her life is gripped by the grace and love of Jesus. She began a good work in her heart. Compare her to the next person that Paul came across in Philippi. Very different than Lydia. Lydia was in control of her life. She had everything in order. Here was a servant girl, slave girl, who was out of control. Where Lydia was rich, the slave girl was impoverished, and she was possessed by a demon. And she went around and she followed Paul and Silas, screaming at the top of her lungs. And one day, Paul just had enough. And he said, be gone, get out of her in Jesus' name. and her life was radically transformed. And she became a believer in Jesus.
Now, you would think that everybody would be happy, that here the slave girl was rescued out of slavery. But not everybody was happy, because all of a sudden there was an uproar. People were upset at what happened. And they threw Paul and Silas into prison. And they told the prison guard, just keep them safe. But they get thrown into prison, and they don't just, the prison guard, the jailer, didn't only just keep them safe, he took his job seriously. He's like, I'm going to really make sure that I lock these guys down. He threw them in isolation, threw them in the inner courts, in the inner jail cell, bound their feet and their hands together, which would have, they would have also lifted them up, excruciating pain. This guy was only told to keep them safe. And here he's locked them up, put them in isolation. And at midnight, it says in Acts 16, that Paul and Silas, bound up, they were singing at the top of their lungs. They were proclaiming and declaring the goodness of Jesus. Now, I asked somebody this morning who has spent some time in jail. And I asked them this question. I said, what would happen if someone was singing at the top of their lungs at midnight? They looked at me and they're like, that person, they would be yelled at. They would get the smack down. That would not be looked upon favorably. That would not. You don't want people messing with your sleep. And here, what I love about Paul and Silas is they didn't care about what other people were saying or what people were doing. Here, they didn't let their chains break their praise. They let their praise break the chains. And they were singing at midnight at the top of their lungs, even though people were like, shut up! No, all of a sudden, they're singing. There's an earthquake. The door busts open. And I bet those guys who were telling them to shut up were like, shut up, look what happened. And all of a sudden, the jailer, he was about to take his life. And Paul cried out and he said, no, we're all here. We're all here. Don't take your life. We're all here. Because in that day, if prisoners were set free, the one who set them free, it would end up taking their life. So this guy knew that it was over. But sometimes God will allow us to go through suffering because he has a higher purpose. And in this situation, the higher purpose was the jailer in his eternal salvation. And he opens up his heart and he gives his life to the Lord. Him and his whole family are baptized. He who began a good work, Lydia, the businesswoman, radically saved. The slave girl, radically set free. Jailer Joe, radically set free. Him and his whole family. That was the church at Philippi. I can't imagine when they got together what happened. Just the stories that were shared. But the thing that I just want to share this morning is we worship a God. And God specializes in new beginnings. He specializes in beginning a good work. And I look all around this room and he is beginning a good work. He is beginning a good work in people's lives. We're seeing people awaken to the Lord. I see in this room just such a hunger to know Jesus. I see men and women, young and old, pouring into scripture saying, God, reveal yourself to me. This morning, we had numerous testimonies of how God was at work in people's lives. And I, as Isaac was sharing, as he was sharing, I thought he had given his life to the Lord. But you know what just happened this morning? Jesse brought him up. And he said, he's never prayed to ask Jesus into his heart. Jesse made sure that he did that today. And so here this morning, we can celebrate with all of heaven that Isaac is a new creation. That is what God is all about. He chases people down, hunts until he finds them, leaves the 99. That is the God we worship. And we look at our lives, we look at your life and my life, we can all go back to that time. And it continues. God, you're beginning a good work in me. God, you're working in my heart. You're awakening my soul to who you are. And so even these feelings that we're feeling, wrestling, like, oh, this problem or whatever, God is doing a good work in us. He's beginning something. Yeah. What we're going to talk about next week is God is not a builder like me doing home improvement projects. He finishes what he starts. And he finishes what he starts. But today, what I just want to celebrate is he who began a good work. He begins things. There's more that I can share. But the thing that it demonstrates this more than anything else is the cross of Jesus Christ. He begins even before we realize it. It's because while we were still sinners, while we were still stuck in our ways, Jesus died for us. And that is worth celebrating. More than enough to celebrate. So this morning, how we want to wrap up our time together is doing what believers have done for a long time, and that's just take communion. And you know, communion is also called the Eucharist. And Eucharist just simply means a table of thanksgiving. And so what I want us to do, we did this a couple weeks ago, we took communion. I'm going to ask the communion servers to come forward. And we've got Kurt and Rick. And I'm going to ask Kurt and Shane, could you guys move the cross up here to the middle?
Okay. Yep.
So how we're going to wrap up our time together this morning is just by giving thanks to the cross and telling Jesus, thank you for the cross. And you're going to be invited to come row by row. Oh. 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 That was perfectly planned. I love about restoration. Right out of order, it said, move cross, hit microphone, Brian comes and rescues. But what we're going to do is invite you to come forward for communion. And as you come forward for communion, we're going to sing just thank you for the cross. It's a worship team. You can come on up. But I want you to come down the rows into the middle aisle. And I want you to do this for a reason, because I'm going to move this cross right here into the aisle. And I want you to come to communion through the cross. And just as you do, clutch the cross and just say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for the work that you began in my life before I even realized it. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that I'm a new creation. And so this meal, communion, is for those who have believed in Jesus. Those who have confessed that he's the Lord of their life, believe that God raised him from the dead just like I did. It's for you. And so if you believe in Jesus, you're invited to come to the table. But let's all stand right now and just celebrate the cross and tell God, thank you. Thank you for beginning a good work in me. Thank you for the cross. And so come, take communion. There's a gluten-free option over here. We'll move the gluten-free option to the table. But come, let's go row by row as we sing.